Blog Talk Radio.
A denied entry to USA show.
You go retaliating and do towards your friends, it becomes a gang situation. Next thing you know, y'all up against the military, and then y'all become a militarized zone.
All right, listen up. Have you been stopped at the U.S. border?
Trying to keep it going, you know what I'm saying? But whoever bring the noise, you know, to 109th and Figueroa, you know what I'm saying? We got to handle our business. We ain't letting nobody step on our toes. Blood, rips, or whoever.
Right here, these all that.
Do you have a criminal record? You know who you are.
Come on, bullet holes, scars. Come on, 19, 20 years in prison. YA, camp, juvenile hall, San Quentin, Spokes, Solidar, Cork, Pelican Bay, Chino, the whole.
Well, this show is definitely for you then.
I think the police out here primarily arrest criminals, irregardless of their hue, criminal allegiance, sex, religion, faith, all that. They are out here to arrest criminals. And gang members tend to fall into the criminal realm. They're criminals. They shoot, kill, pack illegal weapons. They're criminals. So as a consequence of that, they have to have a gang division of the police department. No, but the pigs ain't out just to arrest a certain person. They are anti-criminal. I ain't mad at them. That's their job. Although, no, I ain't got nothing against them. As far as they being soldiers, taking money out of the bank. If they swatting me on some activity, I gotta get down with them. That's the rule. But I ain't gonna fuck with them for no reason, and they ain't gonna fuck with me. Cause I drive by the rule. I ain't got nothing against 5-0. They push up on me, I'm getting ill. And the motherfuckers know it.
Now, reaching out to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest, it's Ken and Lisa.
I'm Ken Scott. I am a senior U.S. Immigration Law Intelligence Analyst with www.usentrywaiverservices.com, and we specialize in clearing border crossing issues. If you guys online know who I am, I've been online enough, chatting in the rooms, etc. And I always like to do a bit of a tradition for a new show, or a new episode anyway. And without further ado, I have to give a bit of a salute to one of my most favorite people on the planet. So anyway, I'm trying to reach out to my guest. Her name is Tiffany. Oh, Tiffany, I see you're there.
I'm here.
Oh, good. Yeah, fancy meeting you here.
Likewise.
So the people in the audience, they don't really know your case. Obviously, I won't go into details. All I will say is that you have no criminality. You just have a simple immigration violation, and I will just leave it at that.
Correct.
Yeah. And your violation should be cleared up within the next year, I would say, or so. And then, you know, you're good to go and yada, yada, make all the money, etc. And then possibly have you come to Vancouver. So, but one question I wanted to ask you is how do you feel that the border guards treated you when you had your issue?
Well, honestly, I think because it's happened already it's happened over 2 years now. I think I still suffer with PTSD. I laugh about it, but like on the flip side, it actually has affected me. in ways that I didn't think was possible. And, you know, yes, I do understand that maybe I didn't have everything in line the way I should have at that time. You know, there's a certain level of professionalism that I feel like they should execute. And with me, it was just really unfortunate. They were, you know, they were harassing me. They were, they really just made me feel like, you know, a piece of dirt. It was a pretty really disheartening process at that time. You know, they patted me down, made fun of the fact that of my dress. They, you know, were going through my shoes, accusing me of, you know, having drugs hidden inside when I've never done a drug in my life. You know, it was just rough. I was there for 5 hours. It, you know, I couldn't even have a glass of water. I couldn't go to the washroom. So yeah, I mean, how they treated me, how they should have treated me, you know, are two different things, I suppose, but they didn't treat me very kindly, if that's, you know, a short answer.
Beth, it's so, I hate to say funny, but it's so funny in a sense to hear that, because the way they treated you, they treat the Surrey boys who have criminality, who are former, they have convictions for PPT or only charges, and none of them had any kind of treatment the way you had. Your treatment was actually more rough compared to them. And I used to always joke with you. I said, you've been better off if you were a former drive-by shooter. It'd be a lot easier to get you clear.
Yeah, for sure. I could see how they would not be threatened by me and actually utilize, you know, their title as like a power trip, if you will, you know, whatever, different strokes for different folks, if that works for them, so be it. But yeah, no, I totally believe you that they would treat an actual gangster or ex-con better than me. So, you know, what are you
going to do? Well, I mean, former gangsters, everything is all former.
Right.
Every client that's convicted is either rehabilitated, or if they were charged but not convicted, they're innocent. So it's always former.
I
have to emphasize.
Yeah.
Always former. So anyway, so what your my candidate as well. What do you think about your candidate that won?
What do I feel about what? Sorry, you blocked out.
I say what? What do you feel about your candidate that won the election?
My candidate or your candidate?
Well, our candidate, I would say.
Yeah. Listen, I'm Canadian. It's only fair that I'm going to vouch for, you know, a presidential candidate that actually cultivates immigration and diversity, which is i.e. Biden and Kamala Harris. But of course, I'm a little bit biased because Kamala Harris, being from, you know, Montreal, she actually lived in Montreal for a number of years, went to high school here. So of course, you know, I'm just repping Montreal. So I'm very, very happy that they won.
It's funny. So you rep Montreal and I rep Surrey.
Hey, you know, that's home is home.
But you've never been to Surrey, so you don't know what Surrey is like. But I tell everyone
True.
I think you saw it online. Surrey is the Chicago of Canada. Surrey is the South Side in the Compton, California of Canada.
Ouch.
Let me make sure I said it.
So, big difference.
Well, South Side, Chicago, you got the Vice Lords, you got the El Rukin, and let's see, the Blackstone Rangers, and obviously Cali, well, you got many groups in Cali, so different groups, but same agenda, I guess. Making money whatever way they so choose.
Yeah.
So how do you think, with the Biden election, how do you think it's going to affect or impact your case? Before you answer that, I should say something before you answer. When Obama was in, Obama was much easier on stuff like criminality in the sense of former traffickers, the guys who used to, you know, drive by and, you know, with the Tech N9 and whatever, and home invaders, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also not as hard on people who had stuff like overstays or unlawful working. But he was really, really hard on fraud. Really hard on fraud. So having said that, how do you think he's going to well, Biden will impact your case in terms of?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I don't actually know what Biden and Kamala Harris's, what their views are, but I'm assuming that comparable to, you know, the Trump administration, given that the Trump administration, like, their number one objective was to really realign the American priority and, you know, save the American jobs and pump a bunch of money into the, you know, Department of Homeland Security to ensure that there aren't any immigrants that are, you know, stealing the American job, if you will. So I don't know. I do feel a lot more comfortable knowing that Biden's actually going to do positive things for America, not only immigration related, but as far as my personal case is concerned, I feel like once it's time to move forward with the application, you know, the receiving end is going to be a lot more lenient in terms of the instruction that they were given from Biden, right? So I do not believe that Biden's planning on, I think he's going to mimic, you know, Obama's course. That's my assumption. I don't know for a fact. But I do feel more comfortable knowing that this, well, the new administration that's going to happen in January is going to be a lot bit more lenient. So I think I answered your question.
Oh, excellent. But
yeah,
if I could elaborate a bit further, you actually were 100% correct, because Biden and Obama, they were really lax in a sense, or not as hard on stuff like, I'm trying to talk around your stuff, but your event.
Yeah.
Had that happened during the Obama-Biden era, you likely would have only got a smack on hand. But because the nice gentleman in the White House was in there, they just decided to go the extra mile. You. And, you know, same thing in Surrey here, you know, with the guys. The guys who used to do the heavier stuff, Trump was really, really hard on now. But now the hardest thing to get cleared is sex crimes, because we've got one individual, he got cleared, he had a sex crime. So that part's fine. But if it's a sex crime involving, like, juveniles or someone under 18, they are really, really hard on those cases. Those cases require massive rehab. I mean, it's
yeah,
unreal.
You know what,
and
I find interesting, though? Like, you know, my case, obviously, you know, speaking from my position, comparable to ex-cons and ex-gangsters, there's it's just a really interesting, yeah, exactly, former, you know, traffickers or whatever. It's interesting that it's like, you know, it's pretty obvious that they're just focusing on upping their numbers and making sure that, you know, they're presenting to this administration that they're actually doing their job. Meanwhile, like, the relatively speaking, the end, like, people like me, it's like, did you really need to, you know, disrupt my situation? Like, I don't know. I just think it's really interesting that, you know, they're doing their job, but they're, like, not doing their job. It's like, I was reading an article that there were over 220,000+ people that got essentially deported and banned for 5 years because of people like me, you know? It's like, come on, you know, like, give me a break. Anyway.
I'll tell you what that is. And I've said it before, so I'm going to try to say this the political way. This, I'm actually on live camera. You kind of see me, but I guess the world can see me. The way that works is the people who are used to the system, I will say, they tend to know how to deal with these border guards much easier. Like, for example, my friend, a gentleman by the name of Sukwinder, has 3 charges for trafficking here in Surrey. However, Sukwinder has never been convicted. So every time he crosses the border with his brother, Jazz, they both get hauled over and interrogated, yada, yada. The border guard's always asking them, say, hey, what happened? What were you moving? Yada, yada. And because the brothers, you know, they're related, because the brothers cannot recall details, because it's such a traumatic experience, the guards eventually have to let them go. Mind you, the brothers have a couple of pages of charges, other charges, but they've never convicted. So they know the system. They know how things work. So So they know how to make the proper presentation. So for them, they will never need a waiver. But you got Joel the plumber who crosses the border, and they say, hey, have you ever smoked any kind of reefer or weed, so to speak? And Joe says, well, yeah, I did back in 2010. And they say, okay, sir, go have a seat. So he goes and have a seat, yada, and do a write-up on him, et cetera, reads in the Riot Act and says, you need a waiver. But he's just deemed himself inadmissible permanently for voluntarily admitting to drug use. And he says, well, you know, I wanted to be honest, guys. And they say, yes, we appreciate your honesty. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for helping us document our stuff properly. So because he's done that, he's, in a sense, screwed for life in terms of having to get a waiver until, I don't know, 100 years old. So it's going to cost him thousands of dollars. And when Joe came to me, I said, well, you voluntarily told them that you smoked weed before. I mean, no one forced you. He says, yeah, but I want to be honest. So yeah, they appreciate your honesty. They're fine with it. But because of your honesty, you're such a great person. This is what you receive. And he kept scratching his head. It's just so funny. And another time, we had another couple. This is not your case at all, but another couple went to the border. And they went to university. I think they're like mid-40s or so. They went to university when they were 20-something, whatever. And the border guard's asking them the same question. Have you smoked? This is coming from the couple and a separate gentleman I'm going to get to in a moment. So they have the couple, and they say, yeah, we smoked it throughout university a couple of times. She told me the border guard just chewed her out about the evil of the devil weed and what it's doing to you and how it affects she's going to hell for her bad behavior. Meanwhile, there was a guy in the corner. He was, you know, tatted up both arms, wearing his tank top and his Ray-Ban shades. And anyway, they walked over to him, uncuffed him, and said, sorry, sir, have
a
good day.
There's nothing wrong with Ray-Ban shades.
Oh, no.
Can I ask you something, though, quickly? It's just if I would have, like, obviously, I've actually never done a drug in my life, but in terms of, like, if I would have admitted that I was a drug user at that time, because what happened was I had these Nutella cookies, and the guard literally searched everything in my purse, but when she opened the Tupperware, she says, is there marijuana in these? And I looked at her, like, literally told her, I've never done a drug in my life. And then, like, if I would have said, yeah, like, I have done drugs, but, you know, there's no marijuana in those or whatever, would they have given me, like, a stronger, like, you know, like, sentence, if you will? Like,
Oh, that's a simple answer to that. You would have had the permanent ban.
Wow.
If you smoked any kind of marijuana or did any rail or bump, anything.
Wow.
You're inadmissible by you voluntarily admitting it. So you would have been banned for life and be costing you thousands of dollars over a lifetime. So
wow.
It is what it is, right? So these people, I mean, they admit to stuff.
Even though it's legal in Canada.
It's legal in Canada. It's legal in Washington State, but it's not illegal federally yet. But Mr.
Right.
Biden and Ms. Harris, right, they say they're going to legalize it, or at least she will. Then those people who have to get waivers for criminality because they admitted to drug possession and drug usage, then they will be good to go. We can probably get them cleared for life at that time. So we just need Ms. Harris, or Mrs. Harris, I guess, because she's married, Mrs. Harris to convince Mr. Biden to legalize it. And I think she can be persuasive, and it's going to help so many people out in the very near future here.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah, because really, it's really bad for people having to deal with this nonsense. But anyway, so as you know what we do, you've seen our new website, so we work on that stuff. We work on the serious cases, the complex ones. Yours is complex and serious, but not serious in a sense. Yours is serious only because of who's in the White House. But once Biden is in, yours would not be as serious. The nice
you know what I find interesting, though, you know, is that, like, how does it just shift into, like, okay, this is less serious because we have a new administration? Like, you know what? I just find I have a hard time understanding that concept. Like, why, I get it, like they receive instruction from their president and the administration on how they have to execute an application. But like, it's still going to be the same person, you know, reevaluating the waiver application at the end of the day. So how do they just, like, do they just say, okay, Biden's president, so we're going to put less effort into this application and just give you a green light, you know?
Oh, no, no. This comes down from the White House in terms of, like, how they want laws enforced at the ports of entry, et cetera. Like, when Obama was in, Obama told these guards to lay off on people in the sense of don't be too hard, because Obama was very welcoming. And because of that, it was a lot easier to get people cleared for these waivers. But when George Bush was in, I remember, Bush was the opposite. So
it was
much harder back then. So it really depends upon the administration. The Democrats tend to be easier because they tend to be more, overall more welcoming. But the Republicans tend to be hard-nosed. So it is what it is. I was about to pull the book out to show you. Let me see if I can get the book. You can't see what I'm doing. This is just for the camera. I want to see what the book says. So basically, it's like I was saying before, if someone who voluntarily admits to committing a criminal offense is deemed inadmissible by virtue of the voluntary admission, the voluntary admission will subsequently be used in lieu of an actual conviction. Yeah, it's right here in the book. You cannot see
Wild.
The book, but...
Wild. Yeah, I hear you, though. Yeah, I hear you.
If people care, but that's the book. You did not see the book, anyway.
I know what? I lived the book.
Well, true. There's one thing I want to do, though. It does not really relate to you. There's a gentleman that seems to think that we don't do any border cases. This gentleman apparently knows everything. You don't know this gentleman. But this gentleman feels we don't do any border cases. He feels we don't do anything. He feels we don't have locations. He feels I'm not even real. I don't exist. So you're talking to someone that's not here. You're talking to a non-existent person. And anyway, the point is, this gentleman says that we also... we don't do any Canadian pardons. Well, I want to show the gentleman on camera. This is a Canadian pardon that we're working on. I'm going to feed out on camera. But this is a request to pardon under Criminal Records Act. Read the results. This is a proposal to deny. There we go. See that there? I don't know if the world can see that. But it's a proposal to deny a pardon. And such and such year, there was a report of a possible impaired driver just seen pulling out of the side of the road. The police arrived, located you sleeping in the driver's seat of the vehicle with the keys in the ignition. That's not good. There were no other occupants. You were awakened and display indications of alcohol consumption. An ASD, field sobriety was demanded and you refused. You're served a 90-day RLP for refusal. I guess that's roadside suspension. And what's the other one? Well, 2015, the police investigated a potential causing of disturbance when you learned of an incident in which you were drunk at your ex-wife's residence. You're yelling and banging on the front door. There were no physical altercation or threats. Police attended your residence and observed you walking towards your car with keys in hand. Police observed that you were intoxicated and emanated an odor of alcohol. Yada, yada. You're arrested. Yada, yada. So anyway, like I said, this has nothing to do with you. But it's for this nice gentleman who says that we don't do any pardons. So this paper in my hand that says proposal to deny actually does not exist. So, but I just wanted the viewers to see that, yeah, we don't do any pardons. That's why I've got this proposal to deny my hand, because we don't do pardons. Another page that came.
Thank God you do waivers, though.
Thank God you do waivers, though.
Well, he says we don't do pardons, so I guess we don't. So this paper in my hand is not good. he's a bit of a he's a bit of a commoner, a bit of a dipper. So what can you expect?
Such a colorful world, and right?
All the pics are there. So anyway, so I took the gentleman's name out, the client. So we got 90 days to get there. So he's not gotten back to me. So now I'm just waiting on him to get back. And other than that, it looks like we're almost out of time. So do you have any what are your other comments?
I mean, so far it's so good. So I rehabilitated in Montreal. And, you know, I'm just chipping away. I'm very thankful that you've been really supportive and helpful during this process. You've been great. You've always been available, straight to the point, no BS. So thank you, if anything. I don't have any other comments or questions, just more of a thank you.
Well, I appreciate the confidence you have in us, and I got to play. Oh, here's something that you would like.
Has this ever happened to you? You live in Canada, and you're stopped at the American border and denied entry, preventing you from traveling to Vegas or anywhere in America, for that matter? Maybe they gave you a hard time because you got busted smoking a joint or something a long time ago. How about you U.S. citizens who've been stopped at the Canadian border on your way to Whistler, Vancouver, maybe Toronto? Didn't it just piss you off? Well, especially if the border official gave you a hard time because of some little thing on your record from the distant past. Well, denied entry to USA.com can help. Denied Entry to USA specializes in resolving border crossing problems. With years of experience, these guys can be your lifesavers. They'll work on your behalf so you can easily go back and forth for vacations, business, pleasure, or just to have fun, if you know what I mean. Online at denied entry to USA.com or give them a call at 888-908-3841. That's 888-908-3841. Get your ass back on the road with denied entry to USA.com.
Brilliant.
I'm probably surprised.
Brilliant.
You're surprised I had that.
No, I mean, I if anything, it compliments you guys more than I really thought you. I mean, you guys are just brilliant. I love that. That was great. That was great. Gave me a good smile.
Is it? You weren't even expecting that, so I thought, hey.
No, no. No, definitely not. It was good, though. Kudos to you guys. Yeah.
I like to
get your ass back on the road.
Yeah,
oh,
he's
so
a good,
good
gentleman. I follow his principles. We advertised with him before, so.
Nice.
But, hey,
Dean Suri?
We probably. Yeah. No, he's in Cali. But I was going to say we probably better run. Almost out of time, but we'd love to have you back on air in the near future when you know,
yeah.
Whenever you're ready, you have time.
Sure,
so,
sounds good. Works
right.
For me.
All right, perfect. So I know you have a busy day, as do I. So I'm going to sign off to the audience here, and I always say, in the words of my Vulcan colleague, oh, I got interrupted. Live long and prosper.
Mm. Preach.
Here is Dan Dunn Bent, gotta represent South Bent, Trope, LA, every day, nigga, monthly, yearly. 34 to be exact, nigga, fear me. Atomic dog, I'm in your zone, your area. Bull Massive, Pit Bull Terrier. I'm coming through like the Wu Dump in Chambers. Third Life, get it right, nigga, danger. 7 shots to my body, ain't no killing me. Lock and load, double back, I had you feeling me. 40 Glock up on your block, headshot, chest plate getting blown when the 9 knocks, and in the distance ain't no resistance. Say your homeboy swear they gonna murder me, said they heard of me, they think I'm on a murder spree. But when they roll up and Chase try to find me, that's when I'm dumping with the fat Mac 90. From the cradle to the grave, I've been kicking static. I've been around from revolvers to automatic. See, I'm a stand-up, stomp-down soldier. Much older now from back then, when I was thugging in my songs on my black swim. See, I'm a G nigga married to the thug shit. Here the COE, Sherm stick. That's how we do it, kicking back.
Stop looking at big gangster video.
What up? Join us next time for another episode of the Denied Entry USA Show. A show to not only educate you about U.S. entry waivers, but we're also here to help you stay out of trouble. Make your choices in life wisely. Handle your business, or your business will handle you.
Yeah, we're gonna get y'all know something about what happens on an everyday life over here, man. Each and every day, it's the same niggas, the same people, the same community, whatever. We don't change.
As I ride, smoking that pot, oh, still stay lit, my eyes are so, they clinging like fire, I keep replacing, but I know I get so higher, see, man, it's something that cut with Levi's on crease, don't peace, if you got beef, let's handle it in the street, as great, pancakes,